Our expert on anything that has to do with entertainment, especially when it comes to the Western field. And all of a sudden, I see Earl trying to take over the mic. Now, what in the world is going on, Earl?
I just was trying to straighten it up so I know where it is, because I'm not familiar with these things.
You know, I'm always having to patch up feuds and stuff like that. And you know, I had a call just before we went on the air, and I do my best to keep things straight and things going smooth for you, Earl.
Smooth for me?
Yeah.
You're talking about Madge. Madge and I are going to get something up on you, and we will play a trick on you, and you will deserve it.
I don't think she'll ever have time, because, you know, we invite her on, and she's gone to do her nails right now. She's always taking part in the more interesting things that go on in life.
Well, I can't blame her for that, can you?
No. Now, Larry, I have to let everybody know that you guys are such good friends. I called you earlier, and we had a no-show call. I had a gentleman I really didn't know, but he was wanting on the show because he was going to want to tell us about some of the things that he does. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it. But that's the one thing about friendship. You can always count on friends, no matter what the situation is. And when something comes up, you don't worry about it, because I know that all I have to do is dial the phone, and you guys are there. And I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Truman. I just hope I don't wear my welcome out. As my mother always used to say, don't be going over someone's house too much to be wearing your welcome out, and I hope I don't wear it out here.
And I want you to know that you were bragging on the Three Stooges.
I was.
And I went over to see them last week, and it was absolutely hilarious. And you can't have a better venue than to go over to Jackson Heights and watch a movie there, because it's just like when we were kids and we'd go watch it at the Princess Theater. It's the same almost to me. I think I went back probably 60 years sitting there watching that movie, because I used to watch them when I was a kid. And these guys hit it right on.
They had it right on the nail, and they did an excellent job. And at the theater, we have two auditoriums now that are digital projectors. Mm-hmm. The movies you'll be watching will be digital. We've always had digital sound in all of our theaters. And also, I want to let the audience know out there that if you give us your email address at the movie theater, we will email you every week.
Wow.
The schedule for that week and the times the movies will start. And starting this Friday, we also have the Avengers will be starting, and that would be a real, real big hit movie.
Now, is that a movie that people like us would like? Or could we take our grandkids and our kids to
see yes.
that?
It's all the superheroes.
Oh.
And
I saw that. Iron Man's going to be in it.
Yeah, Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh, and Thor and the Hulk. And it's a Marvel comic book superheroes. And it's going to be a fun movie for all ages, from children all the way up to our age, who grew up with all these comic books and reading about all these superheroes.
No, it has started, right?
Starts Friday.
Starts this Friday.
May 4th.
I will be there. I want to be there for the grand opening. I think that's going to be a great show.
It is.
You know, all you guys, I have never been over to the campus sub. And you guys asked me to be over there today. That's a fun place. It really is. And it's almost like I went back in time, because all my old buddies are there.
It's the best-kept secret in Murfreesboro, the campus sub. It's home cooking. She never gets anything out of a can. It's all fresh food, unless you just absolutely have to get something out of a can. And it's really great food over there.
It's the conversation that you have to worry about, because the conversation is in a can a lot of times, maybe.
You know, you talk about conversation, though, but it's the conversation over there that's one of the big draws, because you get to be with so many interesting people. And I saw Larry and Carolyn Payne. They were over there eating today, and they're going to take a nice little old trip coming up.
They're going to Alaska, aren't they, for 21 days?
Oh, I think so. They're absolutely going to enjoy that.
For sure they will, because we've been sort of the same trip, but not anywhere near as long. We stayed, I think, 10 days, and that was a good trip.
Now, you all seem to y'all get along so well, and you share so many great stories. and I don't know how in the world you ever get in the word edgewise? Because I know Fred has so many great stories to tell about all the places he goes. And Fred, I have never, ever heard you stumped. I mean, we can start talking about anything that has to do with music or anything that has to do with movies, especially when we're in the Western genre, and you have never missed one. I don't know how in the world you do it.
You know what? I just do it, I guess. But I got to tell you a story about Earl. He was introduced last year. Mr. Dalton Stroop was in the restaurant, and he had his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Dalton introduced Earl to his daughter, says, honey, this is Mr. Earl Roberts. He used to be the man about town.
That's been a long time.
How did he mean that? I'm not sure I understand that, Earl.
You'll have to talk to Fred.
You know, Earl has such a legacy. If you're from Murfreesboro and sports out at the Central High School, whatever. Uh-huh. And Earl, I like to tell people, and it's true, he was the very first medium star in Murfreesboro on radio. That's when they first started having radio in Murfreesboro in the late 40s. And Mr. Ray Duffy used to call the games.
Mm-hmm.
And Earl was like the very first big star in Murfreesboro on radio. Because he's such a good basketball player and football player. And I think, you know, you remember some of those games back then.
I wasn't old enough.
Yeah, okay. But he was just really an outstanding athlete, and people mm-hmm. still recognize that.
Well, not only in football, but he was outstanding in basketball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well.
Now, I can remember watching you play, and I'm sure I watched. Of course, you know, when you're watching a football field, you got 22 guys at it going, and you got helmets on. You can't recognize them as well back then, but in basketball, I remember all you guys playing, and it was you guys. You were called. You had a nickname. What was it?
The Mighty Midgets.
The Mighty Midgets. Yeah.
We didn't have a single player that was 6 foot tall, and this is in high school, and they have them that tall in grammar school now. So a lot of difference between then and now.
You see, now my Uncle Ben was pretty close to 6 feet. He was just under it.
That's true. And that year we did have one two. We had Jim Kelton and David McMaster. But back when I was a sophomore, we were midgets, no doubt about it.
And you guys almost were starting from scratch, because wasn't that Mr. Pate's very first basketball team you guys had?
He gathered us in one day after the sophomore year was over. And he said, I want to thank you for your trying so hard. He said, you had a difficult time because, he said, I've never coached basketball before. Didn't want to coach basketball, but I had to because that was part of the contract. And he just sort of thanked us for being there, I guess. And I've never been more surprised in all my life because I never heard him say anything, you know, like that.
Now, you guys had a great turnout at every game, didn't you?
Yeah,
we did.
If
I remember right, because you couldn't hardly get in the gymnasium when you were having a game.
At Critchlow, Cox Memorial, uh-huh. You couldn't get in at all. And then when we moved to the new gym in my senior year in 50-51, it was pretty crowded then, too, because what else could you do in Murfreesboro? Basketball was a good entertainment.
Oh, yeah. It's about the only entertainment you had.
Oh,
but the
right.
only thing I remember, and I still wish it would have been different, is I wish he had let us play baseball. I would have loved to have had a baseball team back then, because we had some really great athletes.
Wasn't in his contract.
No? Oh, is that what it was?
I think so, because, you know, if you're going to be the basketball coach and the football coach, when baseball comes around, you're sort of tired, I think.
So you guys are the ones that really dug the trenches for everybody else. I mean, you're the ones that started everything. And you know, when you're listening out there, all those of you that came from that era and just maybe later on, we understand what you guys did for all of us. We really did. And I'm sure that was a learning experience for Mr. Pate also as he went on and handled each year of the teams.
We started practice for football in about 2 weeks before school started, and practiced football until the season was over. And you didn't get any time off because we usually had a basketball game the next week, so you started immediately, and you very rarely, if you didn't play football, you didn't play basketball the first few years anyway. Then you played basketball, and they gave you 1 week off, and then you had spring practice, and you practiced till exams in the spring. So I don't think I ever did anything but sports while I was going to school.
Did you guys have to dress up, and did you ride the Greyhound bus like all the rest of us? Now, I remember Hokie Johns was our Greyhound bus driver, and he took us to all the games, which was really a pretty exciting experience for us country boys who really, I mean, that was way out of our league. We weren't used to it.
Well, we started with school buses, and I think we ended up with Greyhounds. So he improved as a little bit more money came along. He had enough money to pay for it, and that was the difference.
It's amazing what sports will do, isn't it?
Yeah, it got the interest in Murfreesboro because we needed something, because after the war, I started, in 47, and that was not too far after the war was over, and people were just coming together and learning about sports again and enjoying things like that.
Now, I know you had a portrait made for your senior year, like all the rest of us did, and for our...
What's a portrait?
Well, let's see, what is a portrait, Larry?
It's your senior portrait when you're in high school, and it's a likeness of what you look like when you were in high school.
Mine didn't look like me at all.
And I bet it did, because Delbert Studio made those portraits back then. They were good photographers.
I can't believe I was that ugly.
Oh, you did all right. I saw you in the yearbook. I was looking through the yearbook the other day. I borrowed it from Susan Turner because a couple of classmates.
Class of 62.
Right, but I was looking in a 59 yearbook when I was a freshman. And you were in there, football uniform and everything, and I saw Larry Payne in there. He was voted the best-looking senior boy at Central High School at that
time. We had a blind bunch of people there, didn't we? Larry, actually, we played ball all the way from Mitchell Nelson on up, and Larry, as you know, was a great pilot. I mean, he could do everything, and he married Carolyn Smith, who is now Carolyn Payne.
And her brother, Charles Smith, played basketball for Central High School.
And on what I still consider the best basketball team in the history of this county was when the 1960 basketball team, they were big, they could pass, they could shoot, they could do everything. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Charles Smith still has the record for best shooting percentage in the state tournament. I know he did at one time. And I know that Raymond Johnson, the famous sports writer for the Tennessean many years ago, through the 40s and the 50s and 60s, made comment that the Murfreesboro Central basketball team was the best basketball team he had ever seen. It was unbelievable.
And they were really predicted to win the state championship that year, I believe, and they got put out by Union City one
night.
Hamilton. I'm sorry.
I still remember that game.
Okay.
Now, tell me, what's so special about the class of 62? Because I know a lot of people that have become very successful out of your class, and you're, of course, one of them.
Well, the class of 62 is no more special than any other class that's graduated from Central.
Well, it's not as special as class of 59, but it's pretty special.
But we have a close-knit group of people that we remain real close friends with, and we're having our class reunion June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Mm-hmm. And on June the 1st, Friday night, we're going to be at Royce and Susan Taylor's house for a cookout.
Mm-hmm. Barbecue, right?
Barbecue. Mm-hmm. And we will also take a group picture of everybody, all the classmates at that night.
And you will be doing that.
I'll be doing that. And then Saturday afternoon, we'll be taking a tour of Central High School, Magnet
School. That's a great. We did that.
Yeah. And then we'll take another group shot of everybody that's going to be at that tour. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go across the street at Matt and Kitty Murphy's house for a kind of a get together and hors d'oeuvres, things like that. Then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Embassy Suite, we'll be having a brunch. Hmm. And then we'll also take another group shot. And the reason we're taking group shots at all three locations is because some people can't be at some of the other functions, and we want to get everybody in the picture.
You know, it's odd going through the school building through Central, because when I went through that, was there, it was smaller. And then I think back, gosh, when you went through there, Earl, it probably was – probably, you were in that old building though, weren't you?
Yeah. 3 years, and then in October.
What did we call that later on? We had a name for that.
Tennessee College for Women is what it was originally called. But
I think we just called it the old building.
I think you're right.
The old building.
Yeah.
And then that's where the Tiger Den was located, and that's where we had all the dances at the school functions. Tiger Den.
So I can remember. I was like second or third floor in the old building. At, I promise you, there were holes in the floor. And probably 3 or 4 inches diameter, and the band, well, that's where the band practiced down below. We always doing things down there with them. But you can see them. You can see the people below you. That hole's in the floor. That is really, that's a true story.
You go by there and look at that school now, and I know it's still Central High School, and it's still on the same property, but it's so much different. And trying to locate some of your classes, I tried to do that when I went over there. And I look and say, well, now, the one I knew for sure was Ms. Hopgood's class, because it was right next to the office when you come in. And I was absolutely scared to death to walk past that office, because you knew who was in there, Mr. Pittard. And for some reason, that man, I still have a fear for him, just thinking about it.
I was pretty lucky. He didn't spank me but 3 times while I was there, and not my senior year, just probably the freshman year. He caught me 3 times, and that was all I wanted.
You were, I had heard that you, everybody thinks of you as the mild-mannered, easygoing guy, that no mischief whatsoever. And you did actually have a reputation when you first started over there.
I don't think so. What kind of reputation are you talking about?
Well, you must have been pretty tough, because I was, you know, I was mischievous, but I was scared to do anything while I was at school. That's the only school I was ever in was Central High School that I didn't get a spanking. It was the only one.
Well, I was scared that Mr. Pate would hear about it and I'd get kicked off of something, whatever it was, because he didn't like you to get in trouble or do anything wrong.
Is that why you were always his pet? Because I have heard that all my life, that if you were Earl Roberts, you couldn't do anything wrong. And I've always been kind of jealous of that, because I had to work so hard just to get some attention.
I tell you what, I'll have to admit one time that I was scared to death of what was going to happen, and nothing happened at all. Nothing. You remember you were talking about the place kick?
Yes.
That you hadn't...
Drop kick.
Mm-hmm. It'd been a long time since you'd seen one.
Right.
Well, I remember the last time I saw one, and it ended up... We were playing Star Tech out of Knoxville, and they'd beaten us 2 years in a row. And my senior year, they had consolidated and didn't have much team. Mm-hmm. So right after the half, we were ahead 50 to nothing, 49 to nothing, something like that. And Mr. Pate told us to kick first time we got the ball, or every time we got the ball. So somebody intercepted a pass and went to the 10-yard line. So there wasn't anybody in there to punt but me, so I punted and punted into the end zone. So I lost 10 yards on that. And then I think we recovered a fumble and had the ball on the 10-yard line again, so I had to kick. So I said, well, I'll just try a drop kick. So I didn't make that at all, and so I lost 10 more yards. So when I went back to the sideline, I was scared to death of what Mr. Pate was going to say, because here I was, had the ball twice and lost 20 yards in 2 plays and had to go back to face him later on. And he never mentioned it. And I was scared to death that he would, but never said a word.
Well, you think about it. The shape of a football, you're dropping the football, and you're having to time your kick to hit the football at the right spot, the sweet spot. And as soon as that ball hits the ground, it's not going to bounce right straight up. It's going to go one direction or the other.
Well, I'd seen people do it, and I thought they could.
Sammy Ball was a great example.
Yeah. Well, I'd never really practiced it, but I thought it just would be something to do. And if you hit 49 to nothing, I don't guess that could beat us. But I wasn't sure what Mr. Pate would say about all that.
Did Mr. Burkett ever show you how to do it? Bob Burkett?
No, he could have, because he was an excellent kicker.
He really was. I would watch him sometimes when we were practicing, and it wasn't anything to see him kick 160 yards in just the perfect spiral. He it seemed like it. He had all the proper techniques. He did everything right. He was just a true athlete and one of the nicest people. We were talking about him before we came over here at lunch, and I still remember him fondly.
Yeah, he was a good one, no doubt about it.
We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the gang in just a minute.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. Starting in May, you can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
On Farmer Brothers.
I'm Dan Carver with Farmer Brothers Insurance. Proper home and auto coverages are vital to your financial health. For the last 10 years, I've worked with thousands of families caring for their personal insurance needs. For a free insurance checkup, give me a call at 893-5064 to set up an appointment. You can depend on Farmer Brothers Insurance. I'm Dan Carver, and you can depend on me.
You can depend on Farmer Brothers.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoken Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke & Associates.
Here it is, Monday, April the 30th, the final day of the month. And the Bible Reading Marathon, which began yesterday, continues 24/7 all the way up until noon this Thursday. That's the National Day of Prayer. This year, the Bible Reading Marathon is over at the Bible Pathways Ministries at 810 West Thompson Lane. You're encouraged to come by. Also, give the gift of life today. Give blood at the Red Cross all day today. That Red Cross blood drive, 10 until 6, and the Red Cross is at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. Again, today's blood drive all through the day until 6 tonight. There will be a special reception honoring the retiring school personnel for the Rutherford County system, 3:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon, and that's at the Stones River Country Club. And our hats off to all educators. The Mayor's Prayer Breakfast is this Thursday morning. That's over at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. The food line opens at 6:40 and the program begins at 7 this Thursday morning. Call the Greenhouse Ministries at 494-0499. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor.
I really love this place, and it's been a wonderful place to live. They keep my laundry clean. They keep this room clean, and also I enjoy the activities. The food is just wonderful.
Stones River Manor, behind Rite Aid, at the intersection of Haines and Memorial. Stop by for a tour.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miatan, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
WeatherEye. This afternoon, we'll have partly sunny skies with high temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, we'll have mostly cloudy skies, developing a chance of showers and thunderstorms and temperatures that falling into the middle 60s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Anthony Kramer.
Right now, it's 84.
Play it again, sports!
Your golf headquarters.
Get new and quality used golf clubs from Nike, TaylorMade, Callaway, pre-owned, and more. Save money on drivers, hybrids, wedges, and iron sets and accessories at Play It Again Sports on Thompson Lane.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with the gang, and we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. Melissa Warren's business, and they come into your home 24/7. They take care of all the duties inside your house. It doesn't matter what it is. They even run errands for you. And they just want you to have a great retirement, living in your home, enjoying it, and you don't have to leave. You can just sit back, enjoy life the way it's supposed to be. And if that sounds good to you, give them a call at 713-4639. Pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And their business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And I did want to thank Linda for allowing Earl to be with us today. I really appreciate it. I know she probably had some other tasks for you, Earl, but I really do appreciate her letting you come on today.
At least she knows where I am. Yes, all she has to do is turn the radio on.
She does. And we were talking about some of the athletes that you had, and Fred was mentioning the fact that our uncle Ben transferred over from Kittrell to play at Central, and it seemed like he just kind of automatically just fit right in with your team. I mean, you all just kind of blended together.
Well, he was such a good player that he would blend right in with any team, because any team in any high school team in Tennessee would have been glad to have had Ben. We didn't have a lot of height then, not a lot of jumpers, but old Ben sure added to it, that's for sure, and he could score too. And I think, you know, I think Mr. Pate liked him pretty much too. I think he did.
I think, yeah, Ben was one of these people that he would stand out no matter where he was. And I remember, and Fred and I both remember when we were growing up at Kittrell, Ben could do things that nobody else could do. He could ride horses Roman style. He could put one foot on one top of one horse and then the other and just ride all over the farm. He was just unbelievable. But your class, it seems like that of all the classes that have been at Central and all the years that have been there, each one has its own characteristics. All of them do. But it just seems like when you go back in a time, you always mention the early classes in the early 50s. It seems like that you're the guys, you were the seeds that pretty much started it all. And that it has to be a great compliment to each and every one of you.
Well, I think that the difference maybe then and now is we really enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing basketball, and I enjoyed playing football. And somebody asked me, what did I enjoy best? And I said, well, I like running punts back. And they said, you must have been crazy. I said, yeah, I guess I was. But anyway, I enjoyed it.
And really, Murfreesboro, there was very little city at that time. Most of the kids that went there were not inside the city limits. I mean, you had farms almost right into downtown Murfreesboro at that time.
Yeah, and it was unusual that my senior class was the largest class in the school. And the reason it was is because of the financial problems back in the 30s. Hmm. You know, when you don't have much money, they just didn't have many children. We were the largest, and the freshman class was the smallest. And you won't find that any schools now. I'm sure the senior class will have less people in them than any of them.
Can you remember the effects of the 1930s, the stock market crashing and all that? Can you remember, because you would be on the outer fringes of it. I mean, people, it would just be starting to come back a little bit.
Yeah, I was way too young for that, but a little later you would, you know, I can remember when I got my first penny, if that helps you any. And then...
Now, I understand you still have it.
I would hope so.
You do have a reputation of being a little tight.
Well, my father went out and and sold Cokes at Sky Harbor, which was the airport then. And he took a little green box to put the money in, and they sold Cokes for a dime, and I thought they wouldn't sell any. But I think they sold out, and when he came back and left the little box, it had a penny in it. And I think I was three or four, and that was my first penny.
Now, a dime for a Coke was pretty expensive at that time, because I can remember, even I can remember 3 cent Cokes, and of course that was the small ones.
Oh, the smaller Coke
thing? Right, uh-huh, right. The ones that tasted the best and still do.
That's right, and they were small. You don't find them at all anymore.
Now, we were talking about portraits a minute ago, and of course we were talking about the early. You were telling me something at lunch today that I didn't know. Tell me how some of the studios got started. I mean, the portraits, the photographers, some of the companies, and how they have gone to where they are now.
Well, I was telling you at lunch today that Mr. Farrell's studio, that's Nelson Smotherman and Bill Smotherman's grandfather, he had a photography studio there on East Main Street. And Mr. Shacklett, Dick Shacklett.
Now, that's before all of us.
Oh, yes. And Bill, Dick Shacklett was Bill Shacklett and Gloria Christie's father. He was working at Mr. Farrell's studio along with Jimmy Carnahan. Well, later on, Jimmy Carnahan was, he bought the studio from Mr. Farrell when Mr. Farrell, I guess, retired. And so Mr. Shacklett, I think, moved to Idaho for a few years. And Jimmy Carnahan ran the studio for 4, 5, 6 years, but later on, then he went on to work at the Tennessean, one of the editors down there. And Fred stayed in touch with Jimmy Carnahan a lot through the years when he'd go down to see his friend Ken Beck. Well, of course, Sam Causey, he worked there at Delbert Studio along with myself. And so Sam later went on and had opened up his own studio in Nashville, then later moved to Franklin. And he did real well and was very successful. And Sam passed away a few years ago. He had a stomach aneurysm. And but that's how a lot of us always got started. We usually worked for somebody for a few years and got some experience. And in 1972 is when I opened my own studio.
And you've done really well there. But that's a real competitive business, because there's some areas that you try to get large numbers. I mean, you have, of course, you have the schools, and then you have the weddings and things like that. And you do such a good job with that. Is that something that when you were in school, were you really aiming toward that particular profession, or did you just happen to start enjoying it for some reason or the other?
Subconsciously, I guess I was aiming toward that profession. My father was a real good artist. He could draw anything and everything. And at one time, I thought I was going to be an artist and go work for Walt Disney and draw cartoons. Well, when I was in about the sixth grade in grammar school, I got a camera for Christmas, a little Brownie Hawkeye, and I was always taking pictures. Well, I was taking better pictures than everybody else in the school, because I was also studying art, and I understood what composition was. So therefore, my pictures always turned out, and would go on field trips. Everybody else would give me their cameras to take pictures for them. And when I got in high school, I was constantly had a camera with me, taking pictures of all my friends and everything. And but when I went to college out here at MTSU as a freshman, went by to see Dr. Beeler Smotherman and asked him, did he need any help taking pictures for the yearbook? And he said, yes, he does, because at that time, he was the only one doing that. He and Joe Smith, and Joe Smith was the band director. And Joe Smith was an excellent photographer as well. Well, I went out and made a few pictures around campus, came back, told Mr. Smotherman, I said, well, here's your film. And he said, well, go develop it. And I said, I don't know how to develop film, never have done that before. So he carried me in the dark room. I made notes. I developed the film. When the film dried, he told me to make the prints. We made the prints, and I was just memorized by how the print would come up in the chemicals and everything. And at that time, I was an art major at MTSU. And they leaned real heavy toward abstract art, which I just didn't care for. And so that's how I really got interested in photography, was at MTSU. And Larry Stewart, the great basketball player for MTSU, I was there one night when he was playing basketball, and a guy, he was going up for a shot, and a guy kind of cuts under him, and he flips over that guy's back, and he lands right on his back. And I got a picture of that, and it was in the Midlander yearbook. And I thought he was killed that night, but he got up off the floor and continued playing. He apparently didn't get hurt.
Do you keep a number of your photographs for historical purposes? Do you actually have? I know that Shacklett has done that for years. Dick Shacklett, that's a major part of our ability to go back and remember and recapture some of the history here in Rutherford County. And when I was talking to you earlier, I got to thinking, I wonder if Larry's doing that.
Well, not for historical purposes, because I was mainly a wedding high school senior.
That's pretty historical.
And family photographer. But I still got every one of the negatives on file of everybody I've photographed since 1972. Still have those negatives on file. Of course, now we're digital. We don't have negatives anymore. Everything's digital.
Now, how do you save things with digital?
Well, when you're taking a photograph of a wedding or a high school senior or a family, it's on a chip in the camera, and you put that card in your computer, and it brings the image up. Now, I understood how film worked. I do not understand how digital works, because on that chip, it's all numbers from 0 to 9, and when you take a picture, it's recorded in those numbers, and somehow when you put it in the computer, that image comes up. Now, I can't explain that because I'm not a computer wizard. Now, my partner is very knowledgeable on computers, and he's teaching me a lot as we go through the years. And right now, we're photographing weddings and high school seniors because that's what's really hot right now.
You know, you and Fred run a lot together when he goes on his trips to Las Vegas and working with the star crowd, the celeb crowd. And you have got so many great portraits, Fred, of going all the way back in the 20s and maybe even before that, I mean, of all the movie stars. And I know that there are so many of us that love to recapture our youth and whatever. I know that I have been into places like when we go down to Ms. Bobo's and eat. I always go through those
Baker's
shops.
Baker's Antiques over in Lynchburg.
Yes, yeah. I always go through those shops. And I was asking him one day, I said, I was looking at, and I knew some of them were yours because I had some of them at home. And I said, I know where you got those. And he said, I bet you don't. And I said, those are Fred Goodwin's, aren't they? He's, how did you know? And Uncle Robert and Aunt Jane would frequent there taking some of your stuff, which is pretty unique and pretty neat.
We've got them all the way from the East Coast to West Coast. And I've had people up in the Dakotas have seen merchandise of mine up there. And
Is it when you go to an area or like the Dakotas, South Dakota, North Dakota, over in the kind of the wild country up there? Are there certain portraits that you know that you need to take?
Oh yeah, yeah, you know, like that's not Wyatt Earp, but Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane area over there. So I have portraits of them, and we sell them over in that area. But we have all the old cowboy stars, too. One of the neatest cowboy photos I have, believe it or not, is Tom Mix.
Oh, I love Tom Mix. And Horse Tony.
Correct. But you won't believe his horse on this one, though. I think Larry knows what I'm going to on this one. He's got his cowboy hat on, and he's got his guns on. And guess what he's riding?
Right.
An Indian motorcycle. It's one of my best sellers. Another best seller is and you know about this one, is the old Moonshine Still taken here in Rutherford County with my dad, George Sharp, John D. Sanford, September 1950. And that's one of my biggest selling photos throughout the United States.
I see that photograph everywhere I go. And of course, I've got one. You gave me one.
But the rare ones are the ones I've got with Dad's autograph on there. And he loved to talk about it. He could tell you everything, every minute that happened when they cracked that still.
I call that the real law enforcement. All right, guys, we have a caller on the line, so everybody that's got ears, put them on. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello. Hey, Truman, this is Larry Stewart. I want to thank Mr. Ralston for telling me about that picture he made of me that night. I've got that picture, and I never did know who made it, but I appreciate him telling me, bringing that up, because I've always wondered who made that picture.
I know that Larry would be more than happy to autograph that for you, Larry.
Well, I'm not going to give it to anybody. I'm going to keep it, because that, like he said, I could have got killed. I would say that night the late Bob LaLance had a lot to do with me not getting hurt, because I was in his tumbling class, and he was teaching us how to dive and then put your hands down and roll, and that's what I did, and that kept me from getting hurt. But I cherish that picture, and I never did know who made it. Now I do.
Well, I was just a freshman that year, Mr. Stewart, and really getting started in photography. And Beeler Smotherman was a big influence on me getting started into the photography business.
Yeah.
I was watching.
I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Before you leave, Larry.
Yeah.
I for some reason, I started thinking about you the other day. I was watching an NBA game. And some guy by the name of World Peace was playing.
Oh, yeah.
And he seemed to have some of the same moves that you had.
Well, I hope I had a lot more sense than he's got. All the talent in the world and no
exactly
sense to go with it.
Exactly.
That's Ron Artest who changed his name.
Yes.
And, he's first class, you know what.
Yeah,
He's got all the talent in the world, and I don't understand, you know, some people, you know, why they don't know, you know, how to act sometimes.
No, it doesn't make sense, does it?
I hope you didn't think of me because of that move. I saw that, and it was a disgrace.
It was a disgrace. And can you imagine, you know, what I'm thinking about you is you have always been such a great role model for the kids when you were playing and when you were a teacher and when you were principal. And you think about it and how polarized that is, because the kids are looking for somebody that they can look up to and they can emulate. And can you imagine somebody wanting to emulate that guy?
I can't imagine. There's so many out there that do, you know, what they're supposed to do that the kids could look up to, and why they would want to look up to somebody like that. Yeah, I'll never know.
I won't either.
Hey, Larry, Fred Goodwin, did Earl Roberts ever referee any of your games?
I've got stitches, but, you know, it was accidents, you know, not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, appreciate your show, Truman.
All right, thank you, Larry. Now, Fred, you guys have got some shows that are going to be coming up here this summer.
Actually, just one. We normally have a festival for Roy Rogers. And this, you know, last year we had his 100th anniversary. Well, this year it's Del Evans' 100th anniversary. But I just have not had the time to get out there and get a place to have this or anything. I just can't do it. Maybe something might happen next couple of weeks and get something going on.
You say Roy's 100th
anniversary. Del Evans.
That doesn't seem possible.
We had Roy Rogers' 100th anniversary last year, and you were there at the show.
Yeah, I was there, but it just doesn't ring a bell.
You know, we had about 300 people to show up.
Yeah. At least. Yeah, it was almost full.
It was a great affair, and Cheryl, his daughter, comes into town every year. I talked to her husband this morning. He called, and they will be here
June the 15th,
and she's got a big deal with the Tennessee Farmers Co-op over in Columbia.
Mm-hmm. I've had a number of people asking if they're going to come back this
year. She'll be back here, and she may come over here for dinner one night or whatever, but I'd like to have something going on the 16th of June. If somebody out there would like to have a nice Roy Rogers festival, we can do it. But I just, you know, it just takes time to do it, but I can put it together pretty quick.
But now, Fred had me call to Passon Park Theater Community Center,
mm-hmm.
and they were all booked up
for
the month of June, except for the very first Saturday in June, and that was June the 2nd.
That's one of the best places to have one, at Patterson Park. We were so impressed. The acoustics, everything about it was great.
There really would be a hard, of course, I'm probably speaking out of turn, but you know, the Jackson Heights Theater there, it reminds me of so much
of the Prince's.
Wouldn't it be neat if we could get her in to have a couple of his shows right there?
That would
be pretty neat.
Well, Fred wanted me to say something to Bill Brooks about that, but I haven't had the opportunity to.
Bill, if you're listening,
about it yet.
We're all wanting that done.
We're going to check with him and see if we can do something.
Bill's a great person to deal with. I mean, he's just.
Yeah, he is.
He's just, you know, he's old Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. and You know, I like his theater because it's good quality. It has good quality movies, and it's easy to park over there. You don't get ripped off on your prices, and it's locally owned.
It is. It really is. And not only that, when you go in, it's so comfortable because Larry and all of them, they're so friendly when you come
in. They're friendly.
There's not any bad elements coming in and interrupting your movie and being too loud or whatever. You don't have that. It's just like you can sit back and relax and enjoy yourself and enjoy the movie. And I really do like the way that you guys run the place. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Take your family to Franklin Road Baptist Church this Sunday.
Franklin Road Baptist Church youth pastor Kurt Copeland says that teenagers are our future.
Hello, my name is Kurt Copeland. I'm the youth pastor at Franklin Road Baptist Church. Teenagers, teenagers, teenagers. That's the future of America, and that's the future of our church.
Sunday school, 10 a.m., morning worship, 11, and evening worship at 6:30.
It is wonderful to know that a teenager can develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we pack our calendar full of great activities, but the thrust of our youth ministry is the preaching of God's Word and personal soul winning. There's nothing better than to see a teenager trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then to surrender to God's will, and then to begin a life living for Jesus Christ.
Franklin Road Baptist Church, down the street from Case and Lane on Highway 96, which is also known as Franklin Road in Murfreesboro.
This is Sheila at Ryan Flowers and Gifts, and flowers are a wonderful way to tell someone how you feel. Fresh cut, we have roses, we have other bright colored flowers, we have balloons, stuffed animals, box chocolates of South's Finest Chocolates, which are made in Tennessee. We have silk arrangements as well. We also do combos, like if you want bear and candy. This is Sheila from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts, located at 117 South Academy Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, the only certified physician in heart CT in this area, talking about the 64-slice CT scan.
Other tests are invasive and they are not as accurate, particularly the treadmill stress test. Sometimes you may have a negative test, you may still have blockages.
Before heart catheterization or stress test, call 896-4800.
This is the earliest test where you could find information without taking too much risk.
Call 896-4800. It could be the 1 minute that saves your life.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. You can also have your monthly bank statement sent directly to your email. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. Come and see for yourself why there's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
WeatherEye. This afternoon, we'll have partly sunny skies with high temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, we'll have mostly cloudy skies, developing the chance of showers and thunderstorms and temperatures that falling into the middle 60s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Anthony Kramer.
Right now, it's 84.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with the gang again. Of course, Larry Ralston, who was kind enough to volunteer to be on today. Earl Roberts, who was also kind enough to be on. We were all sitting and eating today at the campus sub. And Fred Goodwin, who is our Bob Nolan imitator. And, of course, Fred has led such an interesting life and has met so many great movie stars and singers, especially in the Western field. And how would you compare, say, Gabby Hayes with Earl Roberts?
Oh my gosh, that, you know, that's pretty easy. They're real comparable. For one thing, and I'll be serious, they're both well-liked guys, and everybody loved Gabby Hayes, and everybody loved Earl Roberts. I mean, Earl Roberts is my hero. If you grew up in the 50s, you know, you looked up to people like Earl playing basketball and football out there, and you got a good quality person and just a nice person. Well, Gabby was that way. Gabby helped people. Earl helps people. You've been to a basketball game, MTSU, watching Earl Roberts walk in from the other side of the stadium?
No.
Well, Linda, they both walk in at the same time. Linda walks on straight to the seat. Earl gets stopped by a half dozen people, and he's talking to everybody before he gets over there. And by the time he gets over, the game's already started.
You know, I'm one of these people. I was just a little bitty kid when Earl was playing, and I still remember he was one of my heroes. I mean, everybody knew Earl Roberts' name.
Well, the back then, I think Earl can attest to this, when you were an athlete at Central High School, you could walk downtown on a Saturday or whatever, and people knew who you were. Hey, yeah. Earl, that's Earl Roberts right over here. Hey, Earl, good game, man. Good game. Play a good game the other night.
Well, and Earl Roberts' father ran Roberts Coal Company, and also they had Christie Coal Company later on. And living in the city and everything, you always bought your coal from Roberts Coal Company. Mm-hmm. Well, my mother and all of her sisters, Ed Todd's mother, named Virginia, I always heard him refer to Earl Roberts as Little Earl Roberts, and that's all I knew him as, Little Earl Roberts. And when I got to know him, I didn't know whether to call him Little Earl Roberts or Mr. Roberts or what. I was kind of an awkward position there. But later on, he refereed with my cousin, Ed Todd. They refereed together, basketball.
Now, what kind of referee was he?
They were both fantastic. They're good.
Just ask the Kittrell people out there, and the Las Casas people, and the Rockville people, and the Walter Hill people, and the Christiana. And
I don't
the
think you need
people.
To.
I bet
them.
You had very few friends out there, big boy.
Well, one of the things a fella told me, he said, "Do not referee in that Kittrell Las Casas circuit." And they were wrong, because I really enjoyed refereeing around home. You got home earlier, and they said, oh, they would just eat you alive. But they really never did that, and I enjoyed it. And I used to referee the Eagleville-Rockvale game every year. With
Ed Joe Shelton out there then?
Oh, Joe Shelton was there. Uh-oh. We had to sit him down several times. But calling, you know, both little towns there, you'd think that they would get tired of you. And they did not, because they booed me. They recognized me as soon as I walked in, and they booed till I got to the little dressing room. And then they booed me when I came out, and they booed Ed, too. So we had a good time.
Did you ever have to have an escort out of a gymnasium?
Well, I had to have Ed Florida escort me out of Las Casas one night. No, I'm kidding. Ed was probably one of my better supporters, and I loved old Ed. He was a good one. I saw him first play basketball against training school. Mm-hmm. This was back when he came in back after the war. Mm-hmm. And I always used to kid him. I said, he played for 8 years. I said, now, six of those years you were going to school, and two of those you were cleaning up after the game. But he'd always laugh, and he was a good supporter.
Don't you think we really do miss the neighborhoods, the communities? Just like when you would go out there, you knew most of the people that would be in that gymnasium, and they all knew you. It was just something like, you know, they were very competitive against each other, but it's almost like they're part of the family. You don't mess with this person because he's part of my family. It's just the way it was. I don't think that there would be one person in this county that would have been harmful toward you, no matter how terrible you call the game.
No, I don't think so. And most of the times when you call games, you had them holler and scream at you, but after the game was over, it was over. So that's the way I felt about it.
You know, I've seen a few confrontations, and maybe especially with the Kittrell Las Casas games and some of those, but I never saw anything that I thought was really out of character until I saw MTSU, which is MTSC back then, play Tennessee Tech. And I don't know if you remember it or not, but a total brawl broke out inside the gym and outside the gym.
I was in the dressing room when all that brawl broke out. We had played earlier, and the game was over, and all this I think it was because of a football game, wasn't it?
It was the Tangerine Bowl is what supposedly. And I think they were throwing rotten tangerines.
A little bit of everything, I think. But when we came up, because we thought we'd come up to see what was going on, it was over. They'd cleared the gym.
Now, how in the world did you miss it?
Well, we were in the dressing room, and we couldn't hear all that stuff downstairs.
Well, of all the people, and you've seen all the great high school athletes, let's just stay with high school. Who is the best basketball player, in your opinion, that you've ever seen play in this county?
Well,
just inside the county.
I guess Monk. I refereed a good many games that he played in, and I've never seen anybody shoot the ball like he did. In fact, we had the captain's meeting at the beginning of the game, and Monk said, Mr. Roberts, I sure am glad you're refereeing tonight. Said, usually when you referee, I get about 50, and I thought, well, have I been shooting and helping or what? But that's what he said, and I think he got 50 just about every night.
That was out of a three-pointer.
That's right.
And that's what's so amazing. There's no telling. He still has the record for most points scored by a high school athlete.
He started with a smile and ended with a smile.
Yeah, he did. I mean, He had such a great personality. He loved what he was doing, and he was the best at it that I've ever seen. But can you imagine if they had – because I know most of the shots that he took were behind the three-point line. It would have been unbelievable.
He made a shot over the side one night and landed in this woman's lap, and I don't know how he even got the ball out or to the goal, and it went in. Amazing.
Don't you wish you had had him on your team?
No, I wish I was him.
You know, he's one of the legends. You talk about the Old West and the things that happened back there and the things that going on. You know, you guys are all part of that. I mean, it's going to just grow, and it's never going to slow down. And it's just been such a wonderful time for all of us. And, Larry, I really do appreciate you being so nice to me and my family and so cordial to all of us. And I appreciate what you do for the community. You really do pitch in. And I know that Susan Turner, mm-hmm. Taylor, really does speak well of you and what all you're doing for the class of 62. And you guys are going to have such a special occasion coming up. And I tell you what, of all the reunions that we've had in our classes, I think the 50th seems to be the one that stands out. My wife had her 50th this year in Cookeville, and we went out. I enjoyed it as much as they did because you get to see old people become kids again, and that's basically what you are. I mean, you could go in and look there and say, golly, I'm in a retirement old folks home here. I'm supposed to be in here with my young classmates. But it's amazing how young they get in about 30 minutes when you start talking about old times.
Well, what it is, we're not old. We're just recycled teenagers is what we are.
So it's true that inside every 80-year-old man is a 17-year-old trying to get out.
That's right. That's true. And I have never missed any of my high school reunions. Always have a great time listening and seeing all my classmates and just having a good time talking to everybody. And people who don't come to these reunions, I kind of feel sorry for them because they'll have a great time. And anybody out there in radio land listening to the Truman Show today, graduating 62, come to the reunion. You'll have a great time.
It'll be the biggest mistake they've ever made, but not coming. And I've known a lot of people that just said that they just won't come to a reunion. But this is the one where everybody stands on equal ground. Mm-hmm. Everybody, there's nobody trying to impress anybody else. They just enjoy each other's company and just really want to know how they're doing and what's going on and just enjoy being there. And I was so impressed with Susan when she was on because you could tell that she was really enjoying what was fixing to come up. And they tried to get everybody. And I think you guys have done pretty well. I think you've only got about 10 or maybe 15 that you haven't been able to contact, and I think you guys have got a list of those out somewhere.
Mm-hmm. We do, and Susan Taylor and Charlene Norris and Claire Husson and Joey Meadows, they all work real hard on the committee, along with Jeff Jordan and several others. Alice Goodwin and Martha Rowlett and T-Bone's wife. So they're all doing a great job, and if I leave anybody out, I'm very sorry about that.
So T-Bone, where do you find out? Is there any – I know that, Susan, you guys have got a contact number that they can call if they've got any questions, especially, hopefully, if you've got somebody you hadn't been able to find who they are, they can lead you in the right direction.
Well, they can go on Central High School, Class of 62, Murfreesboro, Facebook, or they can go on Classmates and .com and find out and get our location and dates and everything. But it's June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Well, it's been a great show. I hate to leave. In fact, I could just seem to stay here all day. In fact, I'm enjoying all the construction work going on around here. It's not a bit disruptive, and it's been a lot of fun. Fred, you got anything to say?
Oh, I tell you, I've had a wonderful time today. And Larry's class is a very unique class. Joey Meadows, we saw Joey a couple weeks ago, and he had Ronald West with him. Ronald West was a great basketball player for Central. Mm-hmm. I said, Ronald, you know, you ever thought about, y'all were the only team when I was growing up that ever got beat by Kittrell for the state champ for the 13th district tournament? He said, I wake up every morning thinking about it. It makes me so mad that we should have won that game.
Mm. Earl?
Nothing else to say. Goodbye.
You want to say bye to Linda?
Yeah,
since
Linda,
you come over today.
Thank you, Linda, and I will ask you again.
Larry, enjoy.
Well,
it.
Just like to wish everybody to come by and call us up for the high school senior portraits, and if you're getting married and you're going to have a wedding in your near future, give us a call. We'll treat you like a king and queen.
Well, you treated me like a king today. You bought my lunch, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're quite welcome.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.